Did you end up in a custody dispute over your pet when your relationship broke up or your marriage came to a close? How did you resolve that issue when both parties deeply wanted to have the custody of the pet? Did a judge actually make a determination about who should be able to keep the pet? Was there visitation that was granted? We're at 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. With me is Los Angeles-based family law attorney Atusa Sai. Thank you very much for joining us, Ms. Sai.
Thank you.
Up to this point, pets, I guess, were considered community property. What's new about this bill and how judges can consider the future home of the pet?
Well, this bill is really interesting. I read it in detail, and although it's short, I have to say it's vague and loose. And I believe that the intention behind making the bill vague and loose is because nobody knows how this is actually going to play out in our court system. Our family law court system is as backed up as one could imagine, and it's as complicated and expensive as all the horror stories people have heard. So I believe that this bill was written in a way where the courts now have the ability to make orders where before there really were no guidelines. And the bill is very clear that it says the court may enter an order. And the court, and the bill goes further to say that if the court makes a temporary order, it's not going to affect the impact of the final determination of ownership. And what that means to me as a family law attorney practicing for 12 years is that the court can make pendente lite or temporary orders to maintain status quo. And I think this is good. I think this is good because before you can have somebody going through an awful divorce and they might know that the other person's, you know, the dog might be very important to the other person. And just despite the other person, because there's so much emotion involved here and there's a lot that people have to process going through a dissolution, they might not care well for the dog, or they might not feed the pet anymore. They might not take the pet on walks anymore. And they might just do it to spite. And so what this is doing is allowing the court to make status quo pendente lite orders regarding animals as live beings versus property, which is the way we had to look at it in the past.
Wow. So in the past, a judge really didn't have the latitude to look at the pets as there being an inherent moral responsibility to it, unlike who gets a car?
Yes and no. I mean, there was no statute that an attorney could go into court and point to and say, Your Honor, you have authority. And the statute tells you that you need to make orders based upon who's been providing care to this animal. In the past, you would go in and you would make an argument that, you know, the animal should go with this party because of all these reasons. And the court really didn't have statute to fall back on. And every judge is different. So one judge might say, look, I'm not going to make orders today. I don't have any authority before me to do so. The dog remains in the house or the turtle remains in the house and you've moved out and I'm not dealing with that right now. Or on the other hand, you can find a more sympathetic animal lover or pet lover that's a judge. And that judge might say, okay, well, you know, I'm going to kind of go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say that, you know, we should split the animal up, and you can have 1 week, and the other party can have another week. But it didn't have anything to hang its hat on or coat on, so to speak, to say, I have guidelines, counsel, and the statute tells me that if one person has been providing this care and you've provided sufficient evidence for me to look at, and I believe that the animal should go with this party or the other party based on this evidence. This takes it a step further. We did have, I have seen in domestic violence restraining order situations where a party goes in for protection, and you can list other things in that request for orders. And one of the items that you can list under property control is the pet.
To protect the pet from a potential violent act?
Yeah, so what you do is you go in and you say, there's domestic violence happening. I want to be protected. I also want these family members protected. But then there's another page that says property control. And under property control, you can say, I also want the dog. And then you would plead why. But like I said, it was property control up until that point.
Yeah.
Now there's a specific statute that provides for language such as harm, cruelty, care, food, water, veterinarian care, protection, and shelter. So it's really taken it a step further.
We're talking with attorney Tusa Asai, Los Angeles-based family law specialist. So if you found yourself in a custody dispute over a pet, how did you resolve it? What are the ways that you worked through that? Did a judge make a decision that you agreed with or disagreed with for where a pet that maybe you and your partner or spouse, you know, wanted to, you know, both of you wanted it? How did you resolve the issue? Do you have shared custody with a pet where that was really the only way to resolve this? You alternate weeks or months or however you do it. If you got a beloved pet that both parties in the relationship wanted to keep. 866-893-KPECC. That's 866-893-5722. You know, obviously, child custody is a very huge issue and very common these days to have joint custody of children. But how common, Atusa, is it for joint custody of pets when a marriage breaks up?
Well, we have to start with a very basic premise here. The court is only going to have jurisdiction to divide community property. And the new law is still defining animals as community property. It hasn't taken it to the level of saying we're no longer going to look at animals as property and we're going to look at them as we would a child.
So you couldn't have joint custody any more than you could have joint custody of a car. But under this, it sounds like the door might be open for this.
Absolutely. The door, that's what's so interesting about it. The statute says that the court may assign sole or joint ownership. But look at that. It says ownership. It doesn't say custody. So it hasn't gone that far yet. It's using similar language to custody provisions because the court can award sole or joint custody of a child. And this is saying sole or joint ownership of the pet. But the pet has to be community property. So what that means is this pet had to have been acquired during the marriage. If this pet was yours before you got married,
you get to keep it.
Separate property.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. I was wondering about that. If someone brings the pet into the marriage, they don't, that's not community property. They don't relinquish any claim on the pet.
Absolutely. And our statutes are very clear about that. And this statute, in fact, defines that a pet animal means any animal that is community property and kept as a household pet. So if it was your separate property, if it was a pet from before marriage or a pet that you received as a gift or via inheritance, the court, pursuant to this statute, wouldn't even have jurisdiction to make orders.
How often does this issue come up in divorce cases? If you or colleagues that you know had this as a major sticking point in settling a divorce?
Not a major sticking point in settling a divorce. It has definitely come up many, many times. I can't say that it's the reason that the case won't settle. I haven't yet had a case where one party was willing to throw away everything over the division of a pet. But that's where good lawyering comes in, and you really need to be creative and find a middle ground. So as you said, sometimes you'll split the pet. You'll do a custody schedule, and you'll say 1 week with me, 1 week with you. And that's worked. I've seen that work out. Or if there's two of them, you get one, I get the other. Another way that I've personally argued the issue of pet ownership is by linking it to the children. So if you're a custodial parent and your children have extremely strong ties to your pets, I've been able to successfully argue that the parent with the primary custody should have the pets because it's in the best interest of the children to maintain that stability and familiarity when going through such a big transition.
Atoussa Sy, thank you so much for talking with us about this new California law, the latitude it now gives to judges to consider what's in the best interest of the pet when a couple breaks up. Atoussa Sy, Los Angeles-based family law specialist. Coming up right after our update, we're going to take a look at the declining divorce rate and try and understand what are the different factors that are at play for the decrease. Back after a live update from Hetty Lynn Hurdies.